the book of the Revelation, and I want us to notice verse number 8 in the third chapter. And what I want to do this morning is we're going to use that verse sort of as a launching pad. And from that verse, I want us to look, and when you see the verse here, I'm sure you'll know where we're going. I want us to look at some doors that I believe God wants us to see in our lives as born again children of God. And in verse number 8 of this third chapter, and Pastor Jerry, could I get a drink or a glass of water? Praise the Lord. Look at here. I can drink this in one gulp. Not really. But I want you to look at verse number 8 with me. And I want us this morning to look at this thing of open doors. I believe in the day and age in which we're living, we've got to understand God's still alive and he's still well and he's still on the throne. And now, not that you all haven't figured this out, because I get the pleasure and blessing of preaching around the country. And Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I get to illustrate in a lot of places because God has blessed this ministry. There's no two ways about it. And but the thing you want to remind yourself of is that you haven't arrived yet.
Right.
See, there's more out there. And that's what you all have got to continue to see. One of the things that you have to watch out for in ministry is that when the building is full and there's no more room, that doesn't mean your ministry is stopped. Because you can always get more room. and that's what God and the Word of God is all about in the day and age in which we're living. Because the same principle is in Scripture that was there, let's say, when I went to Rosemont in 1967 and started the ministry there with our 17 folks. Because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm quite confident in Jasonville, Indiana today, there are people, as I'm standing here, there are people that are lost and on their way to a Christless eternity. And then you go back down here to Linton, and where your son-in-law is pastoring. That's right, I got the wrong place. But there's people there that are lost. And I came around the back way to come here to church. I'm not going to do that tomorrow or tonight. They got a road down there closed. 54? It's closed, and you got to wait, you know, for the traffic to come the other way. And they forgot I was down there. I'm sitting there waiting at a light. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not going to be there by 9:30, and Jerry's going to think he thinks it's at 10 o'clock because I was teasing you about that last night. But I believe, as I came through that little town called Duggar, there's people there. As I came through that town, I thought, I guarantee you there's folks here that need Jesus today. And so you always want to remember this mindset of the Word of God when we talk about open doors. Because look at what the Scripture says here in verse number 8. This is a message now, remember, to the church at Philadelphia, and basically referred to in many, many Scriptures in the headings that they have there, the true church, in the professing church. But look at what he says. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. But I want you to look at that little phrase there. I have set before you an open door. And I'm glad today that God still has open doors. And what I want to do this morning, I want to take the Scripture, and we're going to go to different verses here in our Bibles, and I want to show you some open doors that you always want to remember in your life as a Christian. Because yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. So if the door was open when the Scripture was written, the door is still open today, because the Word of God is still the Word of God today as it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago, or whenever. And don't forget that, because I'm confident, I'm convinced there are many open doors that God still has for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because number one, you're a church that's preaching the Word of God, which means you're a church that has a man of God in the pulpit, which means that you have in your hand, you don't have a book that contains the Word of God. You have the book that is the Word of God, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God. And that's what it's all about. All we are, beloved, is we're communicators of this book, the Word of God. And it's incredibly important that we not lose sight of that. Because what's happening in the America that I'm living in today is I'm seeing many churches forget that they still have the Word of God that they had 50 years ago. I know churches, Doc, that at one time were running a dozen buses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were seeing people saved and they were seeing lives changed. And today they're running no buses. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that if there were people lost and getting saved back when they were running a dozen buses, that there's still not people available to get saved today if they were still running buses? Amen. Well, absolutely. Amen. Because the Bible isn't changing. See, the Word of God is the Word of God. Well, they say, well, wait a minute, Brother Johnson. Back when we started our bus ministry, gas was 30 cents a gallon. Now it's $3.50 a gallon. My statement always is, well, wait a minute. When you started your bus ministry, did you start a bus ministry because gas was 30 cents a gallon? No, you started it to do what? To reach people for Christ. Well, now, if today gas is $3.50 a gallon, do you not believe that if God was willing to give you 30 cents a gallon for a gallon of bus, then he can't give you $3.50 for a gallon of bus, for a gallon of gas today? Amen. See, I didn't start the bus ministry that we started in 1954 Ford, 42-passenger bus back in 1968 after I'd been there in the church for a year. I didn't start that bus ministry because gas was 30, 35 cents a gallon. I started it because I saw people that needed Christ and they were lost and they weren't interested in a Baptist church in the state of Minnesota, where the only state in the United States of America there are more Lutherans than there are Catholics. The town was basically, and it was only 1,040 people in the town, but the town was basically 90% Roman Catholic. So they weren't going to come to a Baptist church. But I could have a vehicle to reach into their home to get their children to come, and then I could go back into their home, and bless God, we saw dozens and dozens of those dear folks come to Jesus Christ, people. And their lives were changed and transformed. And today, they got sons and daughters that are in the Lord's work. And that's what it's all about. But it wasn't because it was 30 cents a gallon or $3.50 a gallon. The key is we got to see there's open doors that God still has in the Word of God. And that's what I want to show you this morning. Now, I got to be done at 10:25. I'm okay now. I'm good. Okay, because I don't want to rob the preacher of his time this morning, because I don't like it when they rob me. Well, amen. You know, stand up, speak up, and shut up, and sit down. But let's look at some scripture this morning. I want to show you. Here's a door that I thought about, and I started looking through the Word of God. And turn to 1 John with me for just a few minutes. 1 John chapter number 2. Let's take this one, and let's notice verse number 25, and look at what the scripture says here. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. Now, the word that jumps out at me there very quickly, this is the promise that he had promised us. What I see here is there's a door of promises, the promises of God. Go back to Revelation there in Revelation. Well, let's not do that one. Revelation 21:6, just write it down there if you're taking notes and put that down. But here's the thing I thought about. What a joy it is to know that all of the thousands of promises that we have in the Word of God, they're just as much available to us today as they were when they were placed in the Scripture, the promises of God. When we were... Well, we hadn't surrendered to the ministry yet. I was a layman at First Baptist Church in Miami, Westwood Lake in Miami, Florida. That's where my wife and I are from. That's why we are not snowbirds that have gone to Florida in the wintertime. We are wandering children come home. And I refuse to let them call me a snowbird. Bless God, I was there before they ever even thought of Florida. But one of the things we used to do is we had a little loaf of bread, and it was in the shape of a loaf of bread, and all through that little loaf of bread there were little cards that were placed, and they were all promises of the Word of God. And in our family devotion, when we would have devotions every night with our children, we would go to the loaf of bread and we would pull out one of those promises, and we would read that promise, and that became a part of our family life, claiming that promise. Whatever the scripture said, it was a promise, and it was in the Word of God. And the reason we were doing that is we were teaching our children, you can trust God's promises. You can trust them. And we need to remind ourselves of the promises that God's given us in the Word of God this morning. And there's all kind of promises, you know. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways he shall what? Direct thy path. God will direct your path. Don't be fearful to let God direct your path. We turned the TV on this morning. There happened to be, what was the preacher again, honey? Charles Stanley, there you go. First Baptist Church of Atlanta. And Charles Stanley was on. And, you know, I don't particularly agree with his Bible and all the rest of that, but he made a couple of statements that really, really gripped my heart when he made this statement that some folks didn't go to the mission field because they didn't trust God. God wanted them to go, but they didn't trust God. And if God says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Well, it all comes back then to one basic principle, trust God. Right. Trust God. Right. I was working for Southern Bell Telephone Company, as I've told you before. When God called me to preach and I announced to my family, now my dad and mother weren't saved at that time, but when I announced to them, my dad says, I mean, he stood up in a restaurant, 250 people there on Mother's Day, 1960. He says, son, you can't do that. You're married. You got a family. How are you going to live? Well, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust him. And so, you know, resigned with Southern Bell Telephone Company, went off to Tennessee Temple, finished up my college there, went on to the seminary, graduated, and went up to Minnesota to begin the ministry there, First Baptist, and spent 35 years there, and I'm trusting God all the way, and God just keeps going and going and going. God doesn't run out of promises, people, but you got to trust them. The promises of God are wonderful truths in the scripture, and you never want to forget those promises and claim them and believe them. And one of the great things I need to remind you of there is that when we see those promises, we also need to remember there's another wonderful door that God's given us, and that's the door of prayer. Say, look at Matthew chapter 7. I hope some of you know this scripture, but Matthew chapter number 7, and look what Jesus says in that. Matthew chapter 7. I want you to see this verse of scripture. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and in verse number seven it is. Yeah, asking it shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. There's another wonderful promise, the promise of prayer. One of my favorite verses of scripture is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jack Hudson, who was pastor of Northside Baptist Church for many, many years, graduate of Tennessee Temple before I even got there. But Brother Hudson, claimed that verse of scripture when he went to Charlotte, North Carolina. Not when Charlotte was the largest city in North Carolina, which it is today. But he went to North Carolina, and he started with just a handful of people and stayed and built, by the grace of God and with the help of God, a wonderful, marvelous ministry. And so when they built that new building out on the property, where they had purchased, and they put a street in there. The city named the street Jeremiah Boulevard, and they gave the church the address of Jeremiah 33:3. Now, well, why? Because it was in Dr. Hudson's, in his life and in his ministry, he was just so convinced that this is the will of God, and because he was a man of prayer, that God used him and God blessed him, and here he starts to impact now the city of Charlotte because of the fact that he saw the open door of prayer. And how vital and how important I believe it is. Years ago, there was a song that became relatively common, I think, in most of our churches. And the song, matter of fact, the song you would remember, Arnie Peterson singing, "Prayer is the Key to Heaven." You know, and what was the faith unlocks the door. But prayer is the key to heaven, because God said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." So there's the promise of prayer. Wonderful promise. And I'm not judging anybody today, but I would submit to you today that's probably one of the doors that most Christian people don't take advantage of as much as they should. I mean, we're so busy doing nothing that we don't have time to do something when it comes to the matter of prayer. Spend time with God in prayer. Have that prayer closet. Matter of fact, I'm praying about it right now, but I got a message called the Mountain of God. And you ought to have those places, those times in your life where you and God get alone together. And we're going to look at the life, if the Lord continues to lead. You've been there. Brother Davis has been there. You know, yeah, this I know, Lord, this is what you want me to do. And then all of a sudden, you get to the service and it doesn't happen. And matter of fact, I was preaching a missions conference here last month, back in February, with Terry Angel. Matter of fact, he was one of the preachers here with me a couple, 3 years ago. And he invited me to come for his missions conference this year. So I was there back in February, and I was preaching in the morning service, and I told the folks that I wanted to encourage them to come back tonight. I'm going to preach a new message that God's really placed in my heart, the Mountain of God, because he just gave me this message a couple, three months ago. And I got there on Sunday night, and God said, "You're not preaching that, buddy." And I preached a different message that the Lord laid on my heart, and blessings of heaven came down, and I mean the altar was full, and God just moved in a wonderful way. And if I'd have just gone ahead and said, "Oh, no, Lord, I know what I'm doing, I'll just go ahead and I'm going to do my thing," you don't go down that road, people. You just don't do it. But you ought to have that time of prayer, the open door of prayer. Go over to John 15. Let me show you another one. John 15. And let's look at verse 7. That's a good verse. Here's what Jesus said. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, we just got finished talking about prayer. But what is really Jesus talking about here when he makes that statement? "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." You see what Jesus is saying there? There's another door you want to understand in your Christian walk. And I call it the door of communion. See, it's staying close to the Lord. It's going to the Lord on a regular basis. It's staying in line here with the Word of God. Because the more we commune with Him, we've got to have a relationship with Him. One of the things I've purposed in my life as I've been getting older and older and older, and life is going on and on and on, is that I've got to maintain that closeness with God. Even though I'm no longer a pastor, I'm no longer the superintendent of a Christian school. You know, I'm no longer on the, you know, the mission board. I'm no longer on the American Association of Christian Schools board and all of this stuff. I've got to maintain that closeness, that communion with God. One of the things I've really worked hard on since I became Pastor Emeritus of First Baptist Church of Rosemont, I've worked very, very hard on staying in close communion with God, because as a Pastor Emeritus with a senior pastor there, I am going to be the key as to whether or not that's going to work to the glory of God or whether it's going to blow up, as I've watched other ministries blow up. One of the reasons we did what we did in Rosemont was because I was at Tennessee Temple and Highland Park Baptist Church when there were 4,000 people in the auditorium to hear the Lee Robertson of the 60s and into the 70s, and then he retired in, I think it was 82 or 83. And today, that 6,000-seat auditorium that they built is for sale. And there's no longer a Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga. They're out in where Camp Joy is, that Dr. Robertson started in memory of his daughter Joy, who died in 1946 when he started the camp, where thousands of young people have been saved over the years. And there's a church out there that used to be called Grace Baptist. It was one of the chapels of Highland Park. And that's where Highland Park Baptist Church is there now. And it's not even called a Baptist church. I mean, it's just sad. It's tragic. We must maintain our communion with God. We've got to stay close to God. Amen. Amen. Yes. On June 17, 2002, when I handed that sword to Brother David, I told him, I said, "Now, son, you've been here years and years, and you're now the senior pastor, and you stay true to God, stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to the mission of the church." And we didn't agree on everything all the time. But because I was the pastor and he was one of our associate assistant pastors, and then he's youth pastor, assistant pastor, associate pastor, then he became senior pastor. We didn't agree all the time. But when I was the senior pastor, he always said, "Preacher, you're the man of God. You're going to stand before God and give an account for this decision." And he always came alongside, as long as I kept it in the book. Now, as he's the senior pastor, he's made decisions that I didn't think were good decisions. But he's the senior pastor now. And so now it's my responsibility to come alongside. And the only way I'm going to do that, I'm not going to do that in the flesh, I'm going to do that in the spirit, and that's based upon my communion with God. Now, I love that woman sitting here. I'll be married to her 59 years, coming a few months. And we have wonderful communion. But she's not my God. So the same communion I have with her, that same love I demonstrate for her, I've got to demonstrate to the God of heaven, who reached over the embattlements of heaven on August 17, 1952 and redeemed my soul. Why did God do that? I haven't got a clue, except I know he loves me. And he commended his love toward me while I was yet a sinner. He sent his only begotten son to shed his blood on a cross. Amen. To give me a home in heaven that I don't even deserve. And neither do you. None of us. We've got to keep that communion with him. That's an open door. Brother Jerry, whatever in the world you do, son, don't you lose that communion with God. Don't you do that. I'm watching it happen all across the country. And it's sad. I don't want to go down and start illustrating churches. But there's not an individual in here that doesn't know about independent Baptist churches that know what's happened in some of our independent Baptist churches in the last year or two. It's absolutely tragic. It's tragic. So you keep that open door of communion. The open door of communion, critical, vital. Underline that verse of scripture, verse number 7 there, John 15. It's so helpful, I believe. It's so helpful for us to understand that. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And it not might, it shall be done unto you. That's a promise from the God of heaven. And I'm going to claim it till Jesus comes or I go to be with him. All right, let me give you another one that has been very helpful to me. Now, this is not one of my newer ones, but this is an older one because when I was a student at Tennessee Temple from 1961 to 1967, we had a Bible conference every winter, the Winter Bible Conference at Highland Park Baptist Church. And one year, Dr. Robertson brought a man by the name of Dr. L.E. Maxwell to Highland Park Baptist Church. I never heard of him. But L.E. Maxwell was the founder and the administrator of Three Hills Bible College in Alberta, Canada. Three Hills, Alberta, Canada. And he wrote a little book, and he had his book with him. And he sold it, and the book was called Born Crucified. I don't know if it's in print anymore. I have a copy of it in my library, but I read that book. And basically, what the book was all about was dying to self. Dying to self. And you know, as I read that book and I would read my Bible, I came to recognize the greatest enemy I had here on earth was not the devil. It was me. Because now hang with me, okay? Now y'all don't go to sleep. But let's be honest. Will you be honest with me this morning now, okay? But let's be honest. The one person we kind of like is the person we look at in the mirror. Now, you say, well, that's not my problem. Well, you thank God if you can honestly say that. But I couldn't. I couldn't. And as I read that little book and saw what the, you know, Dr. Maxwell was saying in that book. And then every once in a while, and honey, you would probably remember this and any of you others that have ever heard Dr. Lee Robertson preach. But Dr. Robertson was a big believer in dying to self. He said it, if I heard him say it once, I heard him say it 100 times, at least. Die to self, die to self, die to self. I knew 5 years before I finally surrendered to God that God wanted me to preach. Now, and I got saved in 1952. I knew in 1955 that God had his hand on me. I can take you to the place. I can take you to the church. I can give you the illustration of what was going on there. It was the funeral of an old preacher that had died. There were 6 people in the auditorium for that funeral. I happened to work with his nephew. And a faithful man of God, old Dr. Hancock. And had been a great preacher, great pastor for years. And even in his latter years, he was a chaplain in the Veterans Hospital in Miami, Florida. And he was in his 80s. And but anyhow, I knew God wanted me to. I knew he wanted me to preach. But I said, wait a minute. I'm a deacon. I lead singing. I'm a Sunday school superintendent. I'm a part of a building committee, and I'm a tither. I give to missions. My wife and I were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation Thursday. God, I can handle. I'm doing well. But God, he that was not His will for my life, and I knew it. I knew it. And but for 5 years, I looked in that mirror, and I knew what God wanted me to do, but I knew what I wanted to do, and that's what I was doing. Now, that's a dangerous position to be in. And if you don't think God is loving and kind and patient with us, you ought to think that one through again, because He's been very patient with all of us, truth be known. I'm thankful to God He was patient with me. Now, I want to show you a scripture, and with this we'll have to close. But I want to show you in Luke chapter number 18. Chapter number 18 in the, verse of, in the book of Luke. I want you to look at verses 29 through 30 with me. And look at what it says. The words of Jesus, and He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Always be sensitive, folks, to the door of self-denial. See, self-denial, it's interesting. I think sometimes we kind of get we don't have good communication with the Lord in relationship to statements that we say. What do you mean when you say self-denial? And the way I always illustrate it or define it is self-denial is like the switch, let me put it that way, that sets God in motion. When you and I can come to the place in our life where we can honestly say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done in my life. As a matter of fact, in the scripture, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, and what does the scripture say about that grain of wheat? What must it do? It must die. And that's exactly what had happened in Ed Johnson's life. I had to say, I'm a grain of wheat, and I've got to fall into the ground and die. And as the scripture says, when that grain of wheat falls into the ground and goes through that process of death, what's the result? The scripture says much fruit. That's right. Yes, sir. Much fruit. And that's what God wants all of us to understand. Now, God isn't going to call us all to preach, all to go on the mission field, and all so forth and so on. Matter of fact, I love your new nursery over there, brother. And you know, you got a rocking chair now, and you got a grandma in the rocking chair. And we have rocking chair grandmas in our ministry up in Rosemont. And their ministry is to rock the babies when the babies are crying. And now I asked them if I got in one of their laps, would they rock me if I was having a bad day? And they said, beat it, buddy. But that is a ministry that those ladies have right now this morning. There's teachers teaching these Sunday school kids, and there's going to be children's church workers, and there's bus captains, and there's bus workers, and who's cleaning the church? I mean, you can go on and on and on and on, folks, but it all comes back to dying to self and saying, Lord, here I am, I'm Yours. What is it You want me to do? What is it You want me to do? Because if we're going to bear much fruit, we got to die to self. We got to become that grain of wheat. Fall into the ground, experience death to self, and then out of that comes much fruit. Let's pray. We love You, Lord. We thank You for loving us. We're excited, Lord, to be here once again. We are so grateful for what you're doing in this place. And I pray, Father, you'd keep your hand of blessing upon their good pastor, his dear wife, his family, his church family. God, help them. Help them to continue to see there's still much that needs to be done. And God, I pray that you'd give guidance and direction to them as they walk with you faithfully every single day. We give you the conference. We, Father, give you the morning service. I pray that you'd use our preacher this morning. Fill him, God, with your power. Guide and direct them through the ministry of the Spirit of God. And help every one of us to be honest with ourselves, to be obedient to the leadership of the Spirit of God as Dr. Davidson preaches now in our morning service. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you, Lord, for what you will do. We love you. We thank you for loving us. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.